I'm here to speak with you about what is the foundation for genomic medicine and for genetics, and that's family medical history. And I want to speak to you a moment about how important that is. An accurate family history is very important. It's the first step in genomic medicine. It provides the gold standard of care in terms of helping us direct what types of tests you may need, what areas of prevention you may need to think about in your guide to your health promotion and prevention. So if we have an accurate family history, we can talk to you about some of the things that you need to do that's specific to your individual health and your family's health in terms of prevention. It helps us to guide screening and diagnostic tests. So if we understand your family history, we know what appropriate tests might be needed for you and when those should be provided. It guides our patient and healthcare education so that we know what types of things to speak to you about in terms of your own individual health. So your family history is extremely important, and we don't want to let that become less important now in terms of all the genetic testing. The family history still remains the most important thing we need to look at. There are misconceptions about family histories. They're perceived as unreliable. They're very reliable as long as the information that you have about your family is accurate. So family histories are still one of the most reliable ways to look at your future in terms of your health care and what you need to do. They're perceived as time-consuming and burdensome for patient and provider, and I'm sure you've all been in a healthcare situation where it's hurried and rushed and you only have a few minutes, but your family history is still very important. Perceived as less powerful than diagnostic and laboratory tests, your family history can still be just as important in terms of your risk for other diseases, and we'll talk about those in a moment. But it's still extremely important that the physician or your provider, as I am a nurse practitioner, understand what your risks are. So this can be just as important as your laboratory test. It's perceived as potentially expensive. It's expensive if you have large numbers of genetic tests or large number of diagnostic tests or laboratory procedures that you don't need. But of course, if you have these tests and you do need them and they are prevention, then it's much less expensive to gain care at the outset of the problem before you actually have the disease. So they aren't as expensive as you think, as long as you're doing the right things. Family histories can be effective, they can be accurate, they can be useful, and they are inexpensive. So they are effective in targeting what types of diseases that you may have in your future. They're accurate because your familial tendencies show you the roadmap of the types of things or the diseases that you may need to look out for. Even if you have incomplete information, they're still useful because any information may be helpful. And they are inexpensive. It's inexpensive for me to spend a few minutes to speak with you about your past family history and what you know in terms of helping you develop a roadmap for your health care. Inheritance. We speak about inheritance in DNA. 50% of we inherit from our mother and 50% we inherit from our father. So we have 50% both sides. We have one copy of each gene, and there are about 30,000 genes inherited from each parent. Alleles, and you'll see those in the literature, and I just have them here for definition, are the differences at the DNA level that are responsible for your genetic variations. So you see a lot of information about alleles. And the phenotype is the difference in traits at the biochemical, physiological, or physical level that are caused by the alleles. In terms of cancer, you don't necessarily see the transformation at the alleles, but in terms of if you had a heart attack, that's or you have some sort of disorder that you can actually see, those are the phenotypes that you can actually observe. So that's the expression of the gene. Genetics, we're not talking about genetics today in terms of the genetics in terms of the autosomal dominant inheritance like Huntington's disease or sickle cell disease or those types of prenatal screenings that you may get because you are at risk for those. We're not talking about the genetic breakdown today. We're talking about the family history and how it relates to these conditions and that suggest to you that you do need genetic testing to get them so that everyone's not tested. Family history reveals complex patterns for inheritance of disease, and that's what's most important to us as we get older and we see ourselves having chronic conditions. They come from environmental and behavioral risk that's combined with our genes and our genetic tendencies, which leads us to having a broad array of conditions and disorders such as type 2 diabetes, heart disease, cancers, and asthma. So what we're finding is if we have the tendency within our genes to have these conditions and illnesses, those combined with behavioral risk and environmental factors cause these genes to what some in the literature would call, say, turn on, and we would manifest these diseases. These complex diseases are the ones that we don't have specific genetic markers for all of them, although we are looking for them, but we don't have specific genetic markers, so we have to rely on our family history to know what our risk is, because there is nothing that we can say, well, you will definitely have or have not this disorder. Family history is useful in risk assessment. This is produced by the CDC, of the Office of Genomic Medicine, that indicates our relative risk of having a disorder if our family member has it. In heart disease, our risk is from 2 to 5. And as you can see, our risk goes up whenever a family member has a disorder. It does affect our own personal risk. Our family information should be focused. We need to know whether it reoccurred within our family tree. So if we're looking at our own personal family history and our grandfather died of a heart attack and our father died of a heart attack, then that's a stronger relationship than if our great-great-grandfather died of a heart attack and it did not reoccur again generations down. So that's important. The age at onset, the younger a family member had a disease, the greater your likelihood of getting the disease is, and the greater the likelihood of the severity of disease. So therefore, having a heart attack at the age of 35 or 40 that was fatal increases your risk of having a major heart attack at an earlier age as well. So age of onset for your family member is extremely important. Multiple relatives on one side. So the more relatives you have that had the disease, the more likelihood that you may manifest that disease as well, so that increases your risk. Aunts, uncles, grandparents, and siblings are the most important, and we will go through that in just one moment. So it's important that you recognize all those people and at what time they had their disease occur. Incomplete histories may still have important information, so only if you know that your father died of a heart attack at the age of 35, you know from that very fact that that increases your risk dramatically, even if you don't have the information about your grandfather or his brothers or sisters or your aunts and uncles. So incomplete history can be important. This slide shows the dynamics of how important risk is. If you have, this is of colorectal cancer. If you have no family history of colorectal cancer, your absolute risk for developing the disease within the population is 4%. As we move down the slide, if you have more than one relative that had colorectal cancer, that increases your risk by 16%. So your risk definitely goes up dramatically with people in your family having had a disease. So that's important. Having had the disease earlier increases your risk even more. So you know if you have a family member that's had colorectal cancer and has died at an early age that you need to be screened earlier for colon cancer, probably at the age of 40 or even younger. You know that if you have no family history of colorectal cancer that you can go on the recommendations of age 50 and over to start colorectal screening as long as you don't have any symptoms. So it's very important to you to understand your family history and at what age these types of things occurred. The benefits of using a family history, they help with the health promotion, prevention. It really helps you to understand your individual risk, and that's very important to each of you to understand your own individual risk. It personalizes your interventions and the interventions that the provider can offer you. It guides further genetic testing. So if you are qualified to have a genetic test. If you are a female and you have history of breast or ovarian cancer in your family, to have the opportunity to get genetic testing for some of the BRCA1 or BRCA2 genes is important because they are available. Family history highlights the needs to minimize disease risk caused by other factors such as hypertension and cholesterol. So if you know if you have a family history of heart disease, you know monitoring your hypertension and your cholesterol levels are very important. Although, as I said before, we don't have specific genes to look at cholesterol levels or hypertension, although one day they may be possible. The only thing we can go on from that is we have a strong family tendency, and we also know that we have other risk factors, such as high blood pressure or elevated cholesterol, combined with our increased family history, that our risk substantially increases. So you need to understand how important the family history is in putting all those things together. Graphical pedigree is the standard format to chart family history. Most of the time when you go into a provider's office, they're not charting in a pedigree format. It used to be the gold standard to chart this way, although many institutions now are computerizing their work, and so they're putting the family history into a computer program that somehow will give you a risk assessment. But the graphical is the most effective. It's a way to diagram the history that's easily interpretable, and you can all do this for yourselves. It follows a standardized format, and it combines the family history with your medical history, with your own personal medical history. And it's just a graphical way that you all, yourselves, can sit down and map out your own family history. Your first degree relatives are your mother, your father, and your siblings that are from both the same mother and father as you. And you have 50% of genome from those individuals. So they have the strongest relationship to you in terms of your genetic makeup as anybody else in the world, okay? So those people are the most important. So anything that's happened to them may happen to you, 50% chance. Second degree relatives are your grandmother, your grandfather, and your aunts and uncles. And they are also very important to look at in terms of your own personal family history. They represent 1/4 or 25% of your genome, so you have 25% chance of whatever family history they have, and you need to look at that. So your grandmother, grandfather, and their brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, is extremely important. Third-degree relatives become less important. Those are your first cousins. So a lot of people might think that their cousins are more important than their aunts and uncles, and that's not true in terms of your family history. So you need to look at your cousins. So it would be your mother, father, brother, sister. Then it goes to your grandparents and their siblings, so your aunts and uncles, your parents' siblings. And then third-degree relatives would be your first cousins. I see people writing that down, so I'll give you just a moment. The more family history you can collect, the better it is. Both family histories can be important for risk assessment, and I just want to say this is a provider that, in terms of like risk for breast cancer, can be inherited from the father's side, so that's always important. Even though it's a female disorder, it can be inherited from the father's side, and that's important. Some diseases may be indicators for risk for other diseases within a family, such as a male that has prostate cancer in a family could indicate a risk for breast cancer among female family members. So there is relationships between cancers, and prostate cancer may indicate stronger chance of uterine cancer in the female. So those are important. So just because you're a male and it's a male trait does not necessarily mean that it does not affect the other gender of the family. This is my family history, and that's not important at this time, but except to say that I completed this at My Family Health Portrait, and it's from the U.S. Surgeon General, and if you'll jot down this web address, you too can go on and complete your own family history, and it will give you a diagram just like this, and with a risk, also a table. And I see everybody writing. And I can give you that address too at the end if you didn't get it. And in conclusion, even in the latest Annals of Internal Medicine in October 2007, states that there's still a need to develop better methods for collecting and acknowledging family history. And these methods will be useless unless families keep track of their medical history and providers use it. So, with that, I say good luck. And if you need the website, that's it. But please complete your family history. It's very important to you.